Danny, you'll need to get your Bivol. Okay? And you'll have to open to Exodus chapter 20.
Yeah, in
the Bivol. You got your Bivol?
Yes, I got my Bivol.
Okay, you got your Bivol. Okay, good. Because we're going to open in a word of prayer, and also my frau will be helping us out tonight too. Amen. Lord Jesus,
yes.
As I gave the introduction in its own way, Lord, tonight we deal with another cult, Lord, who does not try to suck in converts like the JWs, Lord, although I picked on Danny earlier tonight, Lord. Lord, they don't suck in like the JWs or the Mormons by knocking on doors. They believe that their lives, the way they act, talk, and walk, is to be their testimony. Lord, we ask tonight, Lord, that you would show us tonight the truth. Lord, help us to see that the real truth behind salvation is you and you alone. Not some bunch of works, Lord. Lord, tonight as we look into this cult, Lord, help us to see the truth of what they really believe and how we could best witness to them when we do run into them. Lord, we do ask you, Lord, to show us the truth. Help us tonight in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, now, of course, if you haven't figured it out tonight, Danny, we're not talking about JWs.
Figured that.
We're going to talk about tonight the Amish.
The Amish.
The truth about the Amish church. Now, of course, there are three types of Amish I want to start with. As we get into Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through, what is it, Ruth? 17. So get ready with that, Danny. Exodus 20, chapter 20, verses 1 to 17. We're going to talk about the Amish, and I just want to give a little introductory comment. Now, there are three groups of Amish, okay? The Old Order. Now, of course, off of the Old Order becomes then there's a group that's sort of in between Mennonite and Old Order Amish. They're called the New Order. Basically, they believe in that you could use electricity and stuff in your homes, but in this case, they accept the assurance of salvation, but they don't accept like your lights and your cars and stuff like the Mennonites. Then the Mennonites are those who accept Christ in assurance of salvation. They have their own meeting houses, and I'll be getting into that tonight as we go along, but they don't have like the Old Order. The Old Order, they have the horses and buggies and all that good stuff. And then the third, another group of the Amish, the three main groups are the Old Order Amish, which the New Order Amish are very close, so we'll just put the two together. The Mennonite, which are those who, they're plain people, they've dressed plain and all that, but they believe, like we do, in salvation. And then finally, there's what they call the Hermonite, Hermonite.
Right.
Okay? The Hermonites, I'll be explaining at the end of the message, because they're like the Old Order Amish, but one distinctive difference between them and the Old Order. So we'll be explaining all these groups as we go along. But all of these groups start out with this common denominator, right here, in Exodus chapter 20. All right, Danny, would you go ahead?
Exodus chapter 20. Ten commandments spoken from heaven. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven, above, or that is in the earth beneath, that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of thy fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. 7th day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, or thy maidservant, nor the cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, sea, and all that is in it, and all that in them is, and rested the 7th day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor thy manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's.
Now, do you notice the Old Order Amish and many of the other groups? They follow very strictly, outside of the Mennonites themselves, all the other groups, the Hermonite, New Order Amish, and Old Order Amish, all take every one of these commands seriously. Now, the Sabbath, though, they understand, at least they got their head screwed on, Ellen G. White, they got that screwed on straight. That it's not Saturday. They understand that the Sabbath was changed when Jesus died. Thus it is Sunday. They know the day of the Lord is Sunday. So at least they got that much straight. But the downside is, here comes the downside, they still have the Ten Commandments. They insist on holding the Ten Commandments. All the other commandments are in the thing wrong with them. But they take one of the commandments so far out of whack, it's not funny. And the Old Order, New Order, and the Hermonite have one of the Ten Commandments that they take and go totally ridiculous with. Now, in one way, they have a point. The commandment is, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Okay? Now, although they understand that, to them, it means anything. They say any likeness. That's where they get what their one belief is. While the others of the church, we understand that it's talked about statues, the Amish, the Old Order, New Order, and the Hermonite believe that means they take the section where they take those few little words, any likeness. You see the two words there? Any likeness. And they take those two words to mean a photograph.
Oh my.
They take those two words to mean you're not to have your picture taken. Now, wait a minute. It says likeness. Now, if you look at the word likeness, that could very well mean that, but that isn't what it means when we go to study this in a few seconds. Now, we have to understand first what the Amish believe. This is only one of their core doctrines. See, the Amish believe their biggest kick comes from the Ten Commandments. Now, of course, that's just the beginning, is the Ten Commandments. But there's some other things they teach, of course, which I'll be getting into in a minute here, but one of the big kicks they had is on this picture-taking deal. And I thought we ought to cover that a little bit tonight, because they teach that you're not supposed to have your picture taken. But what does it mean to have a graven image in the likeness of? Well, let's find out. Ruthie, what's our other scripture here? Leviticus 26 and verse 1 tells us what that image is all about. Now, Ruthie, you're going to read this for us. Leviticus 26 and 1. Okay, Frau? Ruth's going to read it for us. Chapter 26, verse 1.
Ye shall make you no idols, nor graven image, neither rear you up a standing image. Neither shall ye set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it. For I am the Lord your God.
Hello, Amish. Read it and weep. The reason we don't have to go and get the occult translation that they might be using, believe it or not, they use this very Bible, the King James. The only difference between our Bible and theirs is theirs would be the equivalent of the Catholic Bible, the Dewey Version, because they have the old German Luther Bible, which had the apocryphal books in it. But of course, those were added because he was in the Catholic cult. You got to remember, Martin Luther, before he got out of the Catholic cult, that was the only Bible he had. Okay? So we have to understand the Martin Luther Bible that they use. So it's understandable that the German Martin Luther, he had that Bible. Well, they grabbed up on that Bible. That's the only thing they've had. And they said, well, we don't want no new modern paraphrase version. That's what you're holding in your hand, guys. That's what the Amish call that, the modern paraphrase version. That ain't no paraphrase version. That's the same thing as your German Bible. The only thing is we don't have the Book of Tobit in there, okay? So we don't have that kind of garbage in there. We have the real deal. This is the real steak and potatoes. We got rid of the... We got the real German... We got the real steak here. What they've got is the steak that's been uncooked. It's still got the fat with it. Okay, we got ours cooked. Ours is well done. They got theirs medium rare. All right, now we know what the deal is. But it's the same thing. The only difference is what's another sad thing is they don't know how to use it because they've been taught by their bishops and preachers and deacons, their church, under their ordnung, which is a set of rules that they have to live by, unwritten rules. Can you imagine Danny going to church? Well, most churches already do this anyway. I mean, Danny, you go to a church. Now, most of the time when you go to a club, like, say you go to Lions Club, you're furnished a manual on what you're required to be as a member, right?
Right.
Well, you go to most churches... Not ours here, though, because when people come here, even Danny, even living as far away as you do, did you or did you not receive a copy of the bylaws and the doctrinal stand that we have here?
I did.
Yes. Why? Because we want people to know where they stand so they already know what we're... Put everybody on the same page. But you know what they do? The Amish Church, they have this unwritten set of rules, and if they feel they need to update it, they'll have a meeting... And then they'll agree or not agree, the preachers will, and then they manage to pass it down to the people, but half of the time, now wait a minute, word of mouth, it's called gossip, you end up losing some communication and people get confused. No wonder there's a lot of shunning in the Amish church. Amen? But the whole point is, so, I'm going to, hold on, Ruth. Now, We're going to explain the shunning, but we're not up to that yet. Okay? The whole point is, they have this thing with the German Bible. It's the same thing as what we got, so it ain't a paraphrased version, y'all. But the thing is, to them, they took two words, any likeness. Well, what does it mean? If I carve a dog out of a piece of stone, and notice the key words that we found in Leviticus 26:1, and set it up, meaning sitting it on a pedestal, or upon a tower, or whatever, to stand it up. If it's an image of a person, stand him up on his two feet, like Nebuchadnezzar did. That's what it's talking about. It's not talking about a photograph you put on your wall.
Yes.
It ain't talking about a photograph you sit in your photo album and sit it on a shelf to collect dust.
H.W.
Now, but there, thank you, Ruth, you was headed exactly where I wanted to go. Now, there's nothing wrong with a photograph on your wall. But if you put a photograph of your of Jim Jones up on that wall and tell people to get to bow down to it. Now, yeah, okay, I could agree with the Amish when they say that there's worshiping a graven image. Okay, I'll go with that.
Yes.
But if all you do is take a picture of Jesus and put it on the wall, and all you do is look at it and say, okay, there's a picture of Jesus, and move on about your day, and you don't bow down and say, or you got a thing of Buddha up on the wall. Hey, if it's just a picture of Buddha and you don't do nothing with it but just have it on the wall to show people how dumb he looks with his fat little belly. Well, hey, if all it is you got a picture of a fat dude up on the wall, it could be any fat dude for all we care. But if you bow down to it, hey, that must be Buddha. Yeah, there you go, Ruth. Get a picture of Buddha, stick him on the wall, and get you a dart gun. There you go. I saw it. Target practice. Whew. Hey, Danny, that's a pretty cool idea. Ruth came up with a good one. Let's get a picture of Charles Taz Russell, put him up on your wall over there, and you can have some darts. Whew. See how good your aim is, okay? Don't that sound like fun?
Yep.
See if you can hit him in the nose every time. Or maybe poke out an eyeball or two. Amen. But, see, that's the point. A picture is neither evil nor good. But the Amish also believe in a lot of other things are sinful too. Like electricity and all that. We're going to get into that in a minute here. But see, it talks about a graven image because that's their big kick. One of the biggest kicks is you don't go into Amish country flashing a camera. You've already marked yourself as an outsider, and they don't want nothing to do with you. They'll run the other way like a bunch of roaches when the light turns on. They go scatter, and they don't want nothing to do with you. You got a camera on your shoulder. Huh? Or that's it. Or the other way, they'll come up to your face and, don't you take pictures here. Well, hey, I have enough respect for people. If they don't want me to take their picture, I don't have to take their picture. I don't want to look at their ugly face on my wall. I'll go take a picture of something else. Amen. But I don't have to worship it either. That's right. All right, now. Ruth, our next scripture is Acts 2. Okay, now we're going to get into the next thing is why do the Amish, where they meet in churches. Now, this is the Hermonite, the Old Order Amish, and the New Order Amish all meet in home churches. So, Acts chapter 2, Danny, we're going to have you go over there. Acts 2, 41 to the end of the chapter. Acts 2, 41 to 47, which is the end of the chapter. Take us from 41 to the end of the chapter, Danny. As you can see, they got stuff from the Bible, but they misinterpreted what it meant.
Right. And we must always be sure to read scriptures in their context.
Yes. But the nice thing about this scripture, at least this point they hit on the head. This point I have to give them, they did hit this one on the head. Okay, come on, Danny.
Then they were gladly received his word. Okay. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man they need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved.
Okay, now, although the Amish are right with this scripture in many points, there's one small area they're off. Okay, let me point it out to you. The Amish teach that, first of all, you grow up in an Amish home. When you become of age, you can choose to join church. At that point, after your running around period, it's called the rumspring, or running around time, rumspringa. When you run, go, you experience the outside world, then you can make a choice. Join church, or stay in the outside world, which we're called English. They're Amish, we're English. It's the way it works. English meaning you're an outsider, you're not of the Amish church, and Amish means you're part of them. You've joined church. Now, unfortunately, the Rumspringa is a little bit of an art of deception, making the people think they've had a choice, but in reality it's not. Because what they do, Danny, picture this. You've grown up in an Amish home. Say you were mine and Ruthie's child, and we were in an Amish home. You lived without electricity, TV, cars, and all that garbage for a long time until you became 16. All of a sudden, you as the let's say the youngest son even, you know that as you being as the youngest son, you're going to inherit the farm, right? You're going to inherit everything that's mine is going to be yours. Now, you got that in the back of your mind. At the same time, you haven't lived with any of these modern conveniences. All of a sudden, you become 16. You're allowed to go out to the mall, watch yourself a movie. You're allowed to go get you a car. And daddy's going to turn his back on you. And not even, it's like as if you're not even doing a thing wrong. Oh, well, he's just experiencing the world. Now, while you're out there, I'm always, whenever you do come home for a little bit, I'm over there, Danny, when you going to join church?
You know,
Danny, I need you. You got to come back because I got to turn the farm over to you. And there's got to be someone here to take over for when me and Ruth get too old to run it. You got to run it. Now, you call that giving a person a free choice? All your friends that are in the Amish church, especially those that have already joined church, they're over there needling you. When you going to join church? Come on. So you're telling me that person actually had a free choice? I don't think so. The Rumspringa is nothing more than a deception, a beautiful art into the joining the church. They suck you in, really, back into the church by a bunch of peer pressure. Okay? But it must be pretty effective. 90% of the people that turn 16 end up joining church. 90%. Boy, if we only had that in the regular churches, 90% of children raised in Christian homes become saved? Man! Can you picture that, Danny? 90% of the kids in a church grow up and get saved? Man, we must be doing something wrong. Maybe we need to use a little peer pressure tactics. I don't know. But the whole point is, so, in the Amish church, you choose to join church. You're not joining, you're not getting saved, you're not bowing your knee and saying, Jesus, would you take me in as your Savior? Why? Because that's hokmut. Hokmut. That is pride.
Yeah.
Getting your picture taken. You have too much hokmut. The idea is you need to show demut. Humility. So, their humility is shown in the way they dress, their buggies, and all of that, which I'm getting into a sec. So, the whole point is, they take, and you choose to join the church, the Amish faith. You don't choose to accept Jesus, you're accepting the Amish faith. And the Ordnung. The Ordnung is more important than God's Word, more important than salvation, more important than Jesus, more important than His sacrifice. It's the Ordnung who died for you, if you will. The unwritten set of rules for your church district, that's what's going to get you in. Not Jesus, but that's what gets you in. So, then it says, they that were glad to receive His word were baptized. Wait a minute. We know, as a church, they that gladly received His word, meaning Peter's word talking about Jesus, they got saved. We know the Bible means they got really saved and accepted Jesus. Has nothing to do with hokmut. They just accepted Jesus. They actually became demut and got humble and asked Jesus because they knew that Jesus is the only way it's going to get in, that they couldn't do it themselves. But the Amish believe the only way you're going to get in is by following a rigid set of rules. Now, the way they baptize, of course, Danny, now tell me if this is right, biblically. The bishop comes along and the deacon's beside him. After he's already asked everybody if they accept the Ordnung and accepted Jesus, and they want to become a member of the church, and they've agreed that they want to, and they're willing to do whatever, right? The deacon pours water in the cupped hands of the bishop, who allows that water to pour over the applicant's head.
Oh, get a life!
That's baptism in the Amish church. But you're right, Ruthie. It is absolutely wrong. Now, it says, they gladly received His word, were baptized, and there was added to them 3,000 souls. Now, of course, we're going to find in Acts chapter 1, as we study a little later here today, in the message, that there was actually 120 of them. Okay? So 120 plus 300 makes 420. Hello, do your math. The church didn't begin at the day of Pentecost, you charismatics. Amen. I thought I'd whack in on them a little bit while I was at it. But then it goes on to say that they took and stayed steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. That's good so far. And broke their bread from church to church. Huh?
No, not church to church.
What does it say? House to house. And it has nothing to do with JWs, you knocking on doors and passing your stupid witch towers around. Amen? Or your sleep magazines. This has to do with they go from house to house where they had their church meetings. It is biblical that the Old Testament, the Old Order Amish, New Order Amish, and the Hermonite, they all have house church. Nothing wrong with that. I can live with that. That's Bible. But it's what they teach is wrong. And then they go on, it goes on to say, and they sold their possessions in good and had all things common. Okay? That much is good. Now, the one that really likes to stick to that is a Hermonite. We'll be talking about them later. But the Hermonites like to really make sure everybody's got everything common, and they have what they call a communal thing. Okay? But the Amish, your buggy ain't supposed to look no different than mine, Danny. My buggy ain't supposed to look any different from Bishop Byler's buggy. The bishop doesn't have a fancier buggy than I do. So, at least they had that much right, and I agree. The Bible does say they had what is all things common. So that means, look, we shouldn't be trying to be looking better than the other people. It says they took, and those that they saw had a need, if they had more than they needed, they took and sold their possessions and goods and gave it to those who needed it. I was just about to head there, Ruth. Think about that. We in America, in the English world, Danny, think about it. Someone has a hard time, what do? We, just like when your computer broke down, here in the English world, oh well, Danny, nothing I could do about it. But in the Amish church, if they had accepted computers, they would have all came together to figure out how to get your computer working so that you'd have a working computer just like everybody else. Just like if my barn burnt down, all the men from around the area would take one day off. Now picture this, Danny. All the men would take a day off and the women too. They'd all come for what they call a barn raising.
Right.
The only thing the person had to actually, and even then, they have a special fund for catastrophes like this. So the guy that had his barn burned down by lightning, he doesn't even have to pay for the materials. All he has to do is set a date. He gets a group of people come over. A group of people, not just him, not just his family, but some other neighbors, they come around, they clean up the site where the old barn was, then they come over, and then the whole community comes back, and they rebuild that sucker and build a whole barn in one day.
Wow.
A whole barn. Hello, I think we could take a lesson from them. Why is it that we don't want to do that? I'll tell you why. I have to admit, the Amish had this much right. We had too much hokmoot. We're too prideful about ourselves and what we could do that the other guy can't. Oh, well, I'm making $50,000 a year. Fool you on you. If you're suffering over there without no electricity, suffer. That ain't right. If you got someone in your church that's suffering, you don't go and buy them a cheap jar of peanut butter.
Right.
Come on, at least the Amish had that much right. If their house burnt down and they lost their groceries, they'd be busting their behinds, going out in their own gardens and taking from their own garden the very best and giving it to that family. If Danny, if you broke a leg in the Amish church, you broke a leg, you wouldn't have to worry about missing time off of work to get healed. You know why? There'd be some other Amish men that would come to your house and would take over the chores and duties that you would have had to do. They'd pick up the slack, and so when it was done, nobody was out of their own chores, but at the same time, yours got done. In America, though, us English folks, we ain't even learned that. We need to. Amen. That's their good points. But there is one bad one. And it says, read the end of that chapter there. It said, the only downside to them is breaking of bread house to house, indeed eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. And the Lord added unto the church daily such as should be saved. Now wait a minute. God does the adding. That is true. But also Jesus said, go ye therefore into all nations and preach. He didn't say live a life under a stringent set of rules. And that's how people would get in. He said you had to preach. Open your pie hole. You have to do something. Amen. All right, our next scripture is in Romans
5.
Okay, now we're going to talk a little about Hochmut and Demut a little more. Matthew 5, and Ruth is going to read this for us again. Matthew 5, what, Ruth? 1 through 12. Matthew 5, 1 to 12. We're going to talk a little more of their doctrine of Hochmut and Demut here. And this is the scripture they get it from.
Some would term this the Beatitudes. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the pure in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. For my sake, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you.
Did anybody hear anything about electricity?
No.
Did anybody hear anything about cars?
No.
Anyone hear anything about gas stoves?
No.
Electric refrigerators?
No.
TV sets?
No.
Radios?
No.
Cassette players?
No.
CD players? Computers? No. But all of those things by the Amish are classified Hochmut. Anywhere in there did you read about having to wear the same kind of clothes in dull colors?
No.
They say that's Hochmut. And you won't inherit the kingdom of earth. See, that's the problem. It's the Ordnung that teaches those things. It's not God's word. But that's the problem when you got a set of church rules that regulate people more than you do with your Bible. Just because I have a pocket on my shirt doesn't mean I have Hochmut. That says, I could put things in here, looky at me, look at what I got that you don't got. Although some people act just like that. Some people act just like that. Oh, yeah, 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 look what I have and you ain't got. Well, that is pride. That is Hochmut. You're right. That is prideful. But I'm sorry. You could be just as proud in those dull colors and plain suspenders and all that as I can be in my colored clothes. I could have more Demut in bright colored clothes with pockets all over the place than you could be in dull colors without pockets. Amen. Yeah, but the whole point is, I'm saying I could have more Demut, humility, in bright colors than they could have in dull colors with no pockets. Why? Because the fact that they say, well, I'm going to heaven because I'm Amish. Hello, but that smacks of pride to me. I'm not going to heaven because of what I did, Mr. Amishman. I'm going to heaven because Jesus did it for me. Now, I'd say that's as much humility as you can get. See, you're saying to me that because you are Amish, that's what gets you in. That's Hochmut. That is saying that you're something special. That is saying, look what I did. Look what I'm able to do. I'm able to obey the Ordnung and you're not. Ruthie. Your daughter got shunned. No one in my family would ever think that. You're telling me that is Demut? I don't think so. That ain't humility. Well, yes, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall see God. That's true. But let me tell you what. It's not the poor in spirit as far as the way the Amish put it. The poor in spirit are those who are willing to accept Jesus because they realize that they are a dirty, rotten sinner. That is not pride. That is as much humility as you can get. Because what you're saying is, I'm not worthy. I am nothing but a dirty old rag in the sight of God. I'm not worth taking in. If God had His way, and if He really wanted to use righteousness, He could have threw me into hell long ago, but it was because of His righteousness, His blood, Him, period, plus nothing, minus nothing that gets me in. And if it wasn't for Him, I'd be going straight to hell.
Yes, yes.
Now that ain't pride, but they say it is. But that's because they've been taught that way. And hello, the Bible says, blessed are those that give mercy. I told you I was coming to this, Ruth. You're telling me, after what we studied about the shunning, and its vicious ways, like the JWs do it, the Amish do it for the same thing, and in fact for even dumber reasons than the JFWs. If you got a hat brim that's a quarter inch too big, well, you got hoke moot. You got one too many suspenders, you got hoke moot. If your suspender's bigger than the other guy, you got hoke moot. Danny, if your horse has got one more buckle than mine, you got hoke moot. Okay?
Oh my.
Don't you dare put one more reflector on your buggy, Danny, and you got hoke moot.
That's so silly.
And we'll give you dimethylin. You hear me? I'll get me and my other preacher buddies. We'll come over there. We're going to give you dimethylin. We're going to shun you behind. We're going to boot you out, and we're never going to talk to you again. And you're telling me that's giving mercy?
No, not. Mercy.
There ain't no mercy in that. See, sorry, but you could be as humble, you could act like you're as humble as you want, boys, and think you have as much day moot as you got, but really, to tell you the truth, you got more hoke moot than your mitten.
Yeah.
Amen. And it just ain't fitting. All right. Come on, Ruthie. Our next scripture is going to be 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Danny. We're going to take you over here. Now, this is a common scripture that should be good for any Christian. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 to 18. Good message for us Christians. This is something that they believe strongly in. And it is good. Unfortunately, it's the approach. The approach is what the problem is. So, we're going to show you where the approach is wrong. Okay, come on, Danny.
Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty.
Okay. You know what we're talking about here? We are talking about here. They say that because we are Englishers, we are of the devil. And since we are of the devil, for you to come here to me, as an Amishman, to come to me, that you're going against the Ordnung, and you're not, and doing that, you would be unequally yoked. So the only reason you should even be seen around me, Danny, as an Amishman, if I'm Amish and you are English, the only reason I should ever come to you ready for this dumb mess? The only reason I should come around you, Danny, is if I want to take and buy something that you have, some goods, whether it's feed for my horses or wood or something like that. But that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I want to take and sell you my goods, like my corn.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I want to sell you my furniture that I make as an Amishman, or whatever else, if I want to sell you, it's okay. That, nothing wrong with that. Oh, they don't have no problem making the money, do they?
Mm-hmm.